Hey, welcome guys, welcome back to the Sleeper Wire podcast. Thanks for joining us. You might be listening, it's a different lead of the voice, but you know the voice. It's the prophet here, Prophet Houston. I'm not here by myself, of course. I've got my lovely co-host. I've got Julian with me, the sexy man.
Yeah, for those who remember me.
Yes, of course you guys remember Julian. Yeah. And we had the mailbag together. You know, he's been doing some sexy stuff with his time in summer.
If we have listeners that listened since the mailbag, then we're winning, I think.
Yes, yes. And of course, you know, we are winning with the Mike, the darling, the fantasy darling we have on the show with us as well. Welcome, Mike.
Hey, how's it going?
What's going on, man? How's the weekend? How's the week? I mean, we're already in Thursday, so.
Right. It's already Thursday. I can't believe it. It's a short week, so you got to like that. Having Monday off always helps.
Yeah, June 1st, and It's upon us. You know, we're starting to get some good news, kind of. We're still deciphering if it's noise, kind of. So we're going to do this segment. We're going to just roll out the whole show because we got a lot of news today we're going to cover. And you're going to welcome, we're going to have some news and noise for you guys. You're going to decide, we're going to decide whether it's news or noise, and we're going to jump right in, guys. All right, the Browns, Cleveland Browns. Coach Hugh Jackson says he's committed to the running ball more in 2017. How do you guys feel about that? Do you feel like it's news? A little bit of noise.
I mean, for me, absolutely. I think it's news. I think I read something that Isaiah last year was among the top 20 or the only player, the only running back that was among the top 20 that had less than 200 carries.
Yeah, 195. I believe, yeah. Well, 198, actually.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, just under 200. So, I mean,
yeah.
To be the only player on a list of 20, I think that says a lot. And if they want to give him the ball, I don't think it's noise, for sure.
Yeah, I really like how this looks for Isaiah Crowell, although I kind of wish they wouldn't have said anything.
Right?
Right? Like I wanted to.
Don't we all?
Yeah, I mean, this is a little bit too much. This is news, for sure. But this is a little bit too much noise around Isaiah Crowell because I'm liking where I'm getting him. And I feel like he's inching up every draft, every mock draft you do. He's creeping from before you were able to get him in the fourth round. Now he's in the third. Now he might be creeping. I mean, if he's going to get, what, 225, we're guessing? You know, we're not going to throw a whole bunch at him. You got to figure Duke Johnson's going to get some of that, right?
We can definitely throw 30 more carries, 30 plus.
Figure that's going to extrapolate that gives him what he had 952 yards last year, 4.8 average, 7 touchdowns. Yeah, 40 receptions too. So I mean, the guy just did it all for you. And if he's going to get more yards, more attempts, you could definitely see him eclipsing 1,000 yards. If he could get more touchdowns, I mean, 7 is nice, but if he can get 10. And we're looking at RB1 right now, right? And with that line that improved, what do you guys think?
That might be some noise, but yeah. But no, I mean, the potential's there. You know, the potential's there.
There's things that I like about it, but there's also things that I, you know, are they going to be playing from behind a lot? You know,
right,
I mean,
right.
Cleveland right. improved enough to where they are going to be able to run the ball more, or are they going to be playing from 30 points behind every game?
Right.
I think that they did. I really think that they did make some good improvements. I'm kind of excited about the Browns this year, actually.
That's crazy, right? We're excited about the Browns. Oh, yeah.
I said that.
I mean, yeah, especially is that and in the years to come with the draft that they had this year.
Absolutely.
Well, they always knock it out the park. It seems like they knock it out the park at the draft. They draft great guys. You know, they got Jabril Peppers. He's supposed to be one of those defensive guys that's going to take on the league by storm, possibly. And then they got a little bit of, you know, they drafted Corey Coleman. You know, he did well last year. He's actually out for a little while after taking a spill. Week OTAs. What do you guys think about this? little bit of news and noise. He should probably be back, but they said a little while. They didn't really specify.
Yeah, I mean, they're hoping for him to come back during training camp before the preseason. But it's unfortunate. Like, this dude missed some time last year, too. So, I mean, it's not really boding well, but this guy's supposed to be their number one.
Yeah, you know, I really like Corey Coleman. I actually picked him up in our mock draft pretty early, as a matter of fact, because I had great expectations for that guy. And I can just tell you right now, this has me, like, that's two. Like, and once you get two strikes with me, you're pretty much on the fantasy bench, or you're just not on my draft list anymore.
Yeah, I mean, it's little troubling, but, you know, it is early, you know, and you still got camp. He should be back. They don't really have much people there. I mean, who's Josh Gordon? We're not really counting on Josh Gordon. I mean, are we saying Kenny Britt? I mean, is Kenny Britt going to do anything? Not to say that he didn't do anything on the Rams, because he when he had his opportunity, he did. So he might be someone to watch out for. I know there's a lot of hype about Corey Coleman. We had where's the football calculator? Kevin. Yeah,
football
Kevin.
Calculator. That's what.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Kevin was very high on him, and he said he wanted to get like around the ninth round or so. I don't know. He might, with this news, he might be able to get him there. A lot of people snatching him up around that area, so this could be good news for him. And I guess keep an eye on other guys and OTAs and camp and see how he does. What do you guys think about Kenny Britt? Since with this news, maybe it's a possibility that he's someone to watch out for.
I like Kenny Britt, and I've always liked Kenny Britt. I think I think he's always been underrated, and I think he's going to do great. I think he's going to do good in Cleveland as long as they get a good slinger in there.
Well, they said Osweiler. They said Osweiler actually looked decent. You obviously you're not expecting him to take the job. Kessler's probably going to win.
What's that movie where the kid says the garbage bag is like the most beautiful thing he's ever seen?
Oh yeah, what is that? Is that A Beautiful Mind?
Yeah, there you go. That's what that just reminded me of right there.
Paper bag Brock.
Yeah, I mean, man, Kenny Britt, if he's able to do it, I mean, he did eclipse over 1,000 yards last year. He had 5 touchdowns and 68 receptions. So, I mean, if Corey Coleman's not going to be there healthy, I mean, we probably will be. But if he's someone that's going to be having nagging injuries, might want to put Kenny Britt on your radar and grab him up as a last round flyer if you're able to do so.
Yeah, definitely. I think he might be worth maybe a last round or towards the end of the round flyer for sure. It's going to take a lot for me. If Brock is the one under the helm, it's going to take a little for me to gain that trust.
I feel like that news with the Brock stuff, I feel like they're just like, look, man, he's looking decent, man. Someone trade for him. I think that was just a little bit of noise that got to pepper him up. I guess because they were just writing off this guy at one point, wasn't going to make the team. Yeah. And, you know, now they're at least surprised at how well he looks.
That's very well. That could very well maybe true. I mean, they have also DeShone Kizer back there that I know they feel good about as well. So that could be just, you know, noise for the other teams.
Yeah. Now this one, guys, I think this one, I'm going to go ahead and I believe that it was some news, but I did some digging and I'm going to go ahead and say this is noise. Miami Herald's Armando Salguero says Julius Thomas is going to be a thing, quotations, going to be a thing this year. Dolphins have multiple plays tailored just for this guy. So what are we doing? Are we buying in? Is he going to be a thing? Is this news or noise, guys?
No, I was just going to ask, is Peyton Manning throwing to him?
Oh my God, I was going to say that. I was going to say the same exact thing. I was going to say I wasn't aware that they signed Peyton Manning.
Peyton Manning?
Right. Yeah. I mean, when Peyton was there, I mean, that's when he was Julius Thomas, JT. He had those 2 years where he had those back-to-back 12 touchdown games, but that was all under Peyton. And I mean, Tannehill, that guy's never even thrown over 27 touchdowns. So, I don't know. I give him seven. I can give him seven touchdowns. I can give him 500 yards and about 40 receptions. And I think that's a lot.
That is a lot.
Yeah, see, I don't really see Miami getting into a lot of red zone situations. I don't really think that they're going to get – and to me, that's the only time he's good. That's the only time
he can fire off. I mean, let's say, you know, let's say Jay Ajayi gets them into the red zone more often than not, then yeah, I can see this being – I don't think 500 yards, I think that's a lot. I don't think he's exceeded 500 yards in a career since Peyton, actually, 2013.
Right,
yeah. I think he may be just more of a red zone target. That's if they can get into the red zone with Jay Ajayi or whoever they're throwing into.
So are we calling this noise, guys? Is it safe to say that this is noise?
For now, yes.
And Peyton's not going to come out there and throw 55 touchdowns. That's not going to happen.
Now, if you see Peyton Manning lining up in the huddle, grab Julius Thomas is back.
Right. He's got some value. All right. Now, he got according to the Chicago Sun-Times, Adam Johns, I'm not sure if I'm saying his name right, Jordan Howard is looking noticeably slimmer than he was as a rookie. What do you guys feel about this? I'm going to go ahead and say this is a little bit of noise as well.
I mean, that's cool. I lost some weight too, Jordan.
It's Ramadan. I lost like 5 pounds, and it's like 3 days into Ramadan. I lost 5 pounds. Boom. Yeah. Eat that.
Boom. I want to know who his dietitian is, nutritionist. Let me know. But no, I mean, if it says, quote, notably. So, I mean, I'm sure it was all purposely. His offseason was probably, what's the word I'm looking for? Just
productive.
Productive, very productive.
Productive,
you know,
it's a word.
He went into the offseason with purpose. I don't think it's bad news. And it's not like he had a terrible season. I mean, he's going to follow up from a great season he had last year. I don't think it's noise.
What do you think about that, Mike?
Do you think that possibly he stopped eating? He's a bear.
I don't know if I'll make the team or
squirrel.
I don't know if I'd want to make the team. I think it's going to be the bad news bears next year.
It could be. I mean, he's one of those guys that you're drafting in your first round, and there's always first round bust. Now, I'm not saying that Jordan Howard is going to be a first round bust because I believe in his capabilities. I mean, 1,300 yards. I think he could get more than 6 touchdowns. He did have 252 attempts. I can see that getting scaled back possibly, but I don't know. You know what I mean? The guy did make the Pro Bowl, you know, but the Bears are tough to trust. I mean, the guy's been stellar though, so I wouldn't say that he's a 1-year wonder. This is a little bit of noise for me, but at the same time, I guess it's nice that he's in shape. You know, I mean, he's doing his job. You know, he's going to the weight room and, you know, the nutritionist stuff. You know, that's all good things. But yeah, he's still got guys behind him. I know Kareem, Kadeem Carey. There was a lot of people that were, you know, on that bandwagon saying maybe he's a thing. Not really believing that, but you always got to be leery about these first round guys.
I wonder if he gets that Eddie Lacy bonus.
Yeah, right. I mean, maybe he did. You know,
they didn't give him that memo.
Maybe he got that. I don't know. He's losing some weight. I mean, you know, I don't know. What was he? Lacy was what, 3 pounds under, and he got paid. It's pretty nice.
$55,000
bonuses for doing your job. Nice. Like not even doing your job. You know, he didn't really do anything yet. It's the off season. Just like, you know, we already know what he's going to do. I think they should have gave him the bonus for keeping it off. You know, like it's a little bit too early to give him bonus. I mean, he did P90X last year.
Yeah, he's gonna have a whole bunch of cupcakes now, probably. Yeah.
$55,000 worth of cupcakes.
Jesus Christ. Jesus. Man, oh man. All right, well, Larry Fitzgerald said third round wide receiver Chad Williams reminds him of Anquan Boldin. He says he got some good hands on him. He secures the ball and he's gone. That's some high praise right there. Anquan Boldin.
Yes, sir.
Anquan Boldin just finished last season with like 8 touchdowns. The guy was still getting it done, you know? So that's very high praise. And you figure Larry Fitzgerald, John Brown, who's that third guy? We got J.J. Nelson. Is it going to be Chad Williams? What do you guys think? Go with Mike.
You know, anything that you got said by that man right there is, I mean, that's just huge. If he says, I mean, and it's coming from a legend. You
right.
know, I mean, this guy's saying, I think this guy reminds me of a great receiver, and he's probably one of the best receivers ever to play the game, right? Like, I don't know. I'm on board. I really like that passing attack.
Yeah, no, you got to love the Cardinals' passing attack. And if, especially, I mean, just piggybacking off of what Mike said, I mean, if Fitzy is saying that, that means this guy got hands and a body to use on this field. And like all the other players, you know.
Right.
But something about this guy reminds him of Anquan Boldin. I got to bode well for him.
So you're looking at this guy in Dynasty Leagues. You're grabbing him early in the Dynasty Leagues. I'm guessing he's going to be what Larry Fitzgerald's successor at this point. You're grabbing him instead of J.J. Nelson, I'm guessing. Or you have that dilemma if you don't know if you're grabbing J.J. Nelson or Chad Williams. But it seems like a good problem to have, especially when you're getting these high praise so early. And he hasn't played one snap of football yet. So, well, at least for the team. So, you know, they had John Brown supposedly, you know, have a breakout year. You got to like his opportunity. If you like John Brown last year, you should probably like him this year. You know, supposedly he shook whatever he had last year. I know he had sickle cell traits. Hopefully he's better. So you like that. What are you guys putting Fitzgerald, Brown, J.J. Nelson, if you had to put a pecking order at this point and throwing Gresham in it at that point, where were you? Oh, and David Johnson as well. So where's your five?
That's at least five players right there.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's five. But where are you putting them in order? Where you putting them in order first, Jules?
It's tough to say. I think I would have to put Fitzy there just because, man. So far the last two seasons, I think he's led in catches.
Yeah, 107.
Yeah. 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 So, I mean, so right now you got to at least put him first until proven otherwise. Then it's DJ. Then it's Johnson. Then it's John Brown, and then Nelson, I think, would be my.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I think, I don't know.
Bull taker.
I really like John Brown this year. I really think he's a breakout season. I think he's on my radar. He's been on my radar for years, and now that he's got this sickle cell under control, I mean, that guy is lightning fast.
He is.
He's gone. I mean, he's going to have a lot of activity. And I've seen a lot of regression from Larry Fitzgerald, although his regression is still better than most people's best seasons. You know, I mean, he's a legend, like a future Hall of Famer, no doubt about it. One of the best ever to play the game. But I think he's at the point in his career where he'll be more of a decoy than anything. Wow. You know, he'll take off that cornerback. And you'll see John Brown running for the fences, and he's going to score some touchdowns this year, I think.
Yeah, I can see that definitely, too.
But that's if David Johnson's not, like, just throwing passes to himself.
Right.
Because he can. Yeah, I
mean, that guy's a beast. Yeah. What did he catch, like, 80 receptions last year or something like that?
Oh,
that's probably an outrageous number, but I feel like that's close.
I think exactly 80.
I think it was more than that. I thought he had over 100 this year.
Really?
He has 80. No.
David Johnson, not Fitzgerald.
Oh yeah, Fitzy is over 100.
No. David Johnson. I'm saying David.
Yeah, David. No, you got it. You got it. Who's 80? 80 receptions.
Was it 80? Wow.
Oh wow.
That's crazy. I thought that number was crazy, but I was just like, it felt like
it is crazy. Yeah.
That's the crazy thing about this. Yeah. Come on, that's two players in one. That's just insane. Like, you got to do whatever you got to do to get this player on your team.
There's receivers that don't even get that much.
Yeah.
You better have a first through third pick.
Yeah, you better move up. You know, if Chris had a – he had a – he was answering someone's question on Sleeperbot. They had a cool question. It was they use fab dollars for picks. And he suggested that, you know, spend about $10 to make sure you get one of those really good picks. Versus spending $0 and say you get 11th or 12th pick, Which I thought was interesting because I thought, you know, just wait, you know, and you'll still get like a Melvin Gordon at the end of the round or maybe a Josh, you know, a Jordan Howard or something like that. But yeah, if you can move up, spend $10, which is nothing of your $200, and get David Johnson, or you make sure you get Julio, or you make sure you get, you know, Antonio Brown, one of those stellar guys, Le'Veon Bell. Yeah, I agree with that. So kudos to Chris for staying on it. Always. Now he's on it on Instagram. Check that guy out. I think he's a Professor Chris SW, I believe.
That's why he is the professor.
That's why he is the professor. All right. This definitely is noise. I think I'm just going to skip it. That's how much noise it is. Yeah. I'm going to go on to some news. ESPN.
Tell me what the Mark Sanchez.
Yes. Yes, it was. Yes. Yes, it was the butt fumble. Yes.
Please move.
I'm surprised we had pushed that. That was pushed. But okay. ESPN Seahawks reporter Shiel Kapadia wrote 60 receptions is not a stretch for sophomore CJ Procise if he stays healthy, of course. What does this do for you guys? I mean, what a quandary I feel like with the Seahawks. Like, I don't want to touch any of these players other than CJ Procise, I feel like. What do you guys feel about that? How about you, Juice?
You said you wouldn't touch any of the players?
Well, they're running backs. I don't really want to grab Eddie. I don't want to spin a fifth round pick on Eddie Lacy or Rawls. Or I feel like CJ Procise in a PPR league. I mean, he's got a good shot. I wouldn't be surprised if he takes over that whole backfield, to be honest with you. I read a report from one of my buddies on Twitter. He actually wrote it. It was a good piece. He believes actually CJ Procise is going to lead and be that top back there. And I like it. I wasn't really upset at it. You look at his small sample size, but he's one of the, I mean, he was a stellar guy and he was a receiver and a running back in college. And I mean, he's parlayed that into a nice little rookie campaign. And yeah, if he could stay healthy, you gotta love that. I mean,
the Seahawks took the world by surprise when they dropped Michaels.
Yeah,
you know, they took the world by surprise, and all of a sudden you thought, you know, it was Rawls' backfield, which, you know, it started out to be, but Procise was leaning in, and I mean, I can definitely see him leading at least yardage, whether it's on the grounds or in the air, you know.
Well, Mike, you like Thomas Rawls, right? I believe we were talking about, if I'm not mistaken, I could be wrong. I felt like you said you liked Thomas Rawls on our last show or something like that.
You know, no, I never said that, but I do actually like Thomas Rawls. He's a great running back when he can stay healthy. The one thing that really concerns me about him is he's high injury risk to me again.
Right.
Once you bite me twice, I'm pretty much done with you. Like, you're off my fantasy roster. And he got me, like, right towards the championship last year, so I'm really ready for him. But I CJ Procise, I think he has a lot of opportunity there. And, I mean, you're talking about overtaking Thomas Rawls, which, you know, he probably might come out for two or three games, but then he's probably going to get injured again. And then you got Eddie Lacy, which I don't think that's a hard job to take anymore. I just don't see him getting an opportunity unless he excels at it. If he comes out and he can come be the same old Eddie Lacy that he was college rookie year, first year, then it'll be his backfield for the year. But I just don't see that happening. I see him actually having a fall beforehand, and I think it's going to be an issue with the weight. He just has always had weight issues. And I'm always fat shaming the guy, right? But I'm not really fat shaming him now. I'm right. Like the poor guy. Like, I mean, it's just he likes to eat or whatever it is. He doesn't follow that regimen. And I just don't see – I really see CJ Procise. I can see him getting that backfield. And right now you're getting him about the eighth round. And my goodness, you know, I'm like, yes, all day long.
Yeah.
Yes.
We love that. So where are we – how much fab dollars are you spending on CJ Procise in a fab league?
You know, I don't think you have to spend much. I think maybe $3 or $4 tops.
Tops, right? Yeah.
Towards the end of the draft.
Yeah, I was even going to say one or two, maybe. Yeah, you could probably get away, but yeah. Well, we still got camp.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, well, we still got camp. We still got a lot of things that can happen. Guys are still getting arrested.
Yeah, we still have at least 20 more votes.
Yeah, so we still got some time, you know. Justin Gilbert just got suspended four games.
You got guys like Tiger Woods. Oh, wait, no, that's the wrong sport.
Oh, you're wrong. Tiger Woods. No. Yeah, man. That guy's got to lay off that Covfefe. Tiger's got to lay off that Covfefe, man. I'm trying to tell him.
So I feel bad by the social media just destroying the rest of his career.
I do, off topic. I do feel bad. I do feel bad. I'm one of those people that feel like, you know, you make a mistake. Look, I was out, you know, with my wife the other night. I had one or two drinks, but if I got pulled over, I probably would have, I don't know, one or two drinks. I'm not sure if one or two drinks is over the limit or not, but I mean, I'm pretty sure he was neat. His eyes were gone. But, you know, we're going off the rails a little bit. But basically, I'm just saying, give the guy a shot. You know, like, come on. Let's not kill the guy. He's been through enough. Yeah, you know, he should have been drinking and driving. It's bad kids. Don't follow Tiger. Yeah,
cut him a break.
Footsteps. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, somebody said, well, now he can't golf anymore. And I'm like, oh, so did this happen 5 years ago?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, he hasn't been golfing since.
For a while,
yeah, he hasn't been relevant forever.
Man, poor Tiger. He's getting it at all ends. Here we are, a fantasy football show, and here's, you know, we're giving Tiger the business.
I love
man.
It.
Man, let's move on, though, to some more news or some just noise.
Just when Tiger can, you know, can think that he can get away from the golf noise and he wants to listen to fantasy football and he still hears himself.
And he's like, oh,
he still hears his news.
I'm going to listen to Sleeper Wire today. Those guys are pretty refreshing. Yeah. Damn it.
Oh, man.
Damn.
I can't get away.
No. No, you can't.
All right, we're done.
LeSean, man. LeSean McCoy. Excited about that new role, passing game under new offensive coordinator Rick Dennison. I know I'm excited. I was really excited. I have him as my RB3. I've got him ahead of Elliott, actually, wow. In PPR leagues. I have him ahead of Elliott, and this makes me feel a little bit better. You know, I mean, you know, what do you guys think? Maybe you don't feel like he's, you know, not your top three, but more passing. I mean, he's always been great at passing.
He's always been great. Yeah, no, he's always been a pass
catching
back. He's always been a pass catching back. The fact that they want to go after that a little bit more definitely entices him higher in ranks for sure. The injury factor is the only thing that
right. He's always got hamstring issues every year. He's got hamstring issues every year.
You gotta worry that if they're gonna utilize him a little bit more, that his chances of getting hurt again are just even greater. But
I guess that's what handcuffs are for, you know?
Yeah. Definitely get his handcuff.
I felt that angst in Julian's voice right there. I was like, yes, that's exactly how I always feel about Shady McCoy. The guy always makes you feel good.
Right.
And he gets hurt, and then he comes back, and he puts up like 30 points, and you love him again. And
I mean,
I just, he just goes too early. I cannot pay the price for a guy that I have to constantly worry about. I mean, because he's a first rounder. I mean, he's going in the first round.
Right.
And I mean, you're going to pay that price for him. And there's a high potential that he plays two games and he's done for the rest of the year. There's high potential that this guy is the number one running back in a PPR league because they say they're going to involve him more in the passing game. I mean, it's just so exciting because it's him, you know, he's so good at football. It's just staying on the field, and I just paying that price. It's tough for a guy that's injury prone.
It's tough, but you are excited when you do have him on your team. Definitely, most definitely, need his handcuff.
Oh, yeah, you need Jonathan Williams. If you guys don't know who his handcuff is, go ahead and pick up Jonathan Williams.
Yeah,
if you're in leagues where that is just open, and those are kind of some fishy leagues, you should talk to some commissioners about that. That's kind of some fishy stuff. But if you're in a league that just opened and that guy's on the, you know, he's on waivers, go ahead and add him right now, Jonathan Williams, because he is going to be a highly coveted handcuff. He's going to be like a legit handcuff. He's, you know what I mean, like that guy, you need to have him on your team if you're a shady owner. Even if you're not a shady owner, you still want him.
Yeah, just to even block him from the shady owner. If you can get him for a good enough value, he'd be a great pickup.
I mean, look what Gillisley did last year.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, if there is a running back to handcuff in the NFL, it is Shady McCoy. Like,
This is a fact. This is a fact. All right, man. This is my tweet. So I said Killer Kirk Cousins. I know some people call him Killer Kirk. Some people want to name him Captain Kirk. I guess it's more friendly. I thought it was, made him sound like a badass. You know, you like that. Killer Kirk Cousins stated he wants to get Terrell Pryor as many touches as possible. Touches, man. When I heard touches, I was like, oh, is he going to run the ball? Is he going to get touches? So I thought that was interesting wording. What do you think about that, Mike?
Isn't that the expectation, hopefully, for every player?
I mean,
if you said, well, what do you want to do with him? Don't you hope he says, like, I want to get him the most targets as possible?
Or right.
What if he says something like, yeah, no, I really just don't want to involve him at all.
Oh, my God, yeah. Well, yeah, we're spray painting that on the walls. And, yeah, that's something to talk about. That's some big noise in news. So this one here is what, noise?
I think it's noise.
Yeah, and then you still got guys like Jameson Crowder that was definitely getting a lot of love last year. Right. So I expect production out of him this year, more production out of him. And I mean, with the addition of Pryor, it doesn't slow them down necessarily, but I don't know if Crowder's touches are just going to go missing. You know what I mean?
So. Yeah, they got a healthy Josh Doxson as well. And Josh Doxson
has a
big body, just as big as Terrell Pryor. So one of these guys are going to be playing the DeSean Jackson role. One of them is going to be playing that Pierre Garçon role. I think Pryor will probably be playing that Garçon role where he will be more valuable in PPR. Maybe he gets a couple runs. Maybe he throws a touchdown. Maybe he kicks a field goal. the Browns would have won more games if they probably let him. it'll be interesting to see. But this is interesting news. But, yeah, I'm going to go ahead and call it noise, especially when they have Jordan Reed. They just have so many pieces there,
yeah.
And then they use Chris Thompson in the backfield. I know, Chris is going to give me crap for calling Chris Thompson, but the guy did get receptions, and I think they're still going to use him. So they have a lot of guys that they're passing the ball to. I do like Pryor. I think I'm going to put him – I have him, I think, as my 26th overall wide receiver in PPR leagues. I just finished doing like my personal rankings.
Yeah. To touch on that, it is Jordan Reed's offense.
Yeah. Yeah. When the guy's healthy, he's
when he's healthy.
Yeah.
When he's not. Okay. Pryor is definitely in the discussion.
Speaking of healthy.
I'm wrong. Did Terrell Pryor really do that good last year?
Yes.
The numbers that really stand out to me are the games that he actually threw touchdowns as well.
Well, that's going to
really remember him standing out as a wide receiver, I guess.
How many times did he score a touchdown? Did he throw for a touchdown? I don't have that in front of me. I'm curious, but I remember having him on my team, and I like to sell high, so I never have anyone on my team very long. And I had him for a couple weeks where he was just producing, very well. And I thought, he was playing top 10 up until the bye week. He was a top 10 wide receiver up until the bye week. And then they inserted, Bobby Three Stacks as someone likes to call him. I can't think where I got that name from, but, Bobby Three Stacks, Robert Griffin III, he just came in and ruined him, man. He came in and he just fell off a cliff. And of course, on top of that, he got banged up. Kudos for him for trying to, muster through it. Shows he's a hardworking guy. I'm glad he got a contract. I mean, what a story. Terrell Pryor, I love that guy's story. So kudos to him. I hope he does well. It is Jordan Reed's offense, so that's who I would look to, probably stand to get the most touches. It's still probably going to be Reed.
That's another guy that's on my red list. I'm like,
yeah, oh my God. He killed me last year. I got decimated last year.
Yeah.
And Reed was one of them. And
he's just so tempting.
And I accidentally picked up a guy by the name of Kyle Rudolph off the waiver wire, and then I
very nice.
He only had 4 touchdowns as a Brown last year as a receiver, so I really think most of those big games came from him passing the ball.
Yeah, well, I mean, you got the numbers in front of you. What was his yardage like? How many times did he get over 100 yards?
He did have 77 receptions for 1,000 yards, so he did have a 1,000-yard season.
Okay.
Yeah. But only 4 of those turned into touchdowns.
Yeah, well, touchdowns are fluky. You know, touchdowns, those can go up. His touchdowns can go up. Yeah, especially, you know, you figure Kirk Cousins is going to throw more touchdowns than Kessler was throwing. Definitely more pass happy there.
Yeah.
But moving on from the Redskins. We got some more tight end news or noise. Boston Herald says Rob Gronkowski's a full go during OTAs. News or noise, guys?
I mean, I think that's news.
Yeah. Definitely news. I mean, it's definitely always a good sign when you hear something like that.
Do you guys think it's a value getting Gronk in the third round? Because, you know, typically, I mean, I've seen that guy go in the first round the past 2 years.
Right.
Like a first rounder, and it's your tight end, and you're picking up Gronk. But now he's kind of going in the third, fourth round in most things that I've been watching. I kind of want Gronk in the third or fourth round. That's way I get my tight end in like the 17th or 18th round, you know?
You're picking up Gresham, like Flyers, and you're not drafting.
I've been a part of drafts where he gets drafted in the second round, and that's just too high for me. But definitely the third or fourth round. I think that's great value. That's a great pick. If you can get him in the third or fourth, that's great.
Yeah. I mean, if you could get him there, obviously take him. I've still actually been seeing him go in a lot of mocks of about mid-second round, which is still I don't know. Yes, it is too high. But for his value, if he's going to perform like he's – can perform, but again, you know, he's one of those other guys that just, you know, he's a glass man, you know, he's a big man, you know, don't, if I ever see you, don't hurt me for saying that, but he's a bit of a glass man.
Gronk, you are well respected.
Yes, in the Sleeper Wire community. Yes, you are.
Sleeper Wire community.
All right, we got some Predator news, guys. Some Predator news. So Breshad Perriman, Dennis Pitta says nobody's making more plays than the Predator himself, Breshad Perriman. What do you guys feel about that? News or noise?
I've been on the Breshad Perriman bus all off season, so I think it's news. But that's, you know, because I've already said it a couple of times. He shows me things that make me go, I like this. I like what this guy does, and I think he's going to be a high part of this offense this year.
Well, what's nice, if Flacco's able to do what he did last year, Flacco had a pretty, you know, not by touchdowns, but he had the yardage. He had 4,300 yards. But I think his touchdowns are going to go up, and you like the attempts. He had like 671 attempts, passing attempts, which is ridiculous. That was like a career high for him. So if he continued to do that with Breshad Perriman and a healthy Pitta, and, you know, we know Steve Smith is gone. They also added, you know, Woodhead, you know, if Dixon's healthy, you know, they like to pass guys out of the backfield. Then you still got Mike Wallace. I think Mike Wallace is going to be a nice, you know, I've got him in my, where I got him? I think I have 25th, actually, Mike Wallace. I have him really high. I'm loving Mike Wallace this year, just because I'm still waiting to see what Breshad Perriman's going to do. The news is nice, but I'm still waiting. I'd like to wait and see. I think Mike Wallace, I'm a little bit more believer of what he's able to do in that offense.
They can definitely, you know, coexist in that offense. If one is doing well, the other one should do well, as you know, also.
I will bet you 20 cookies right now that Breshad Perriman has a better season than Mike Wallace.
Yeah. I'll take that bet. And I will upload all of my fantasy teams by using those cookies on the Sleeperbot app.
Wow.
It's going to be splendiferous. It's going to be awesome.
I like this.
I'm going to show off. Do you want to get on this action? You want to get on
this action? No, I think I'll keep in the stands for now, but I like it though.
All right, nice.
It's exciting. There's a lot of drama.
We'll keep you in the loop on who wins.
Yeah, I'll keep track.
Well, you'll just see it because you'll be watching TV and stuff. So you'll see.
Don't worry.
All right, we got some news or noise from the Bears. The Giants wide receiver Victor Cruz Again, some old news here. It's about 6 days ago. We had some circulation about it, but Victor Cruz, he's on the Bears now. I actually like this. I thought Eddie Royal would be a piece that would be nice on their team. Never stayed healthy. So I like Victor Cruz on their team. What do you guys feel about Victor Cruz and joining the Bears?
Speaking news of health, nice. Like, has that guy been in the NFL for the past 3 years because of his health? I mean, I guess he came out on a couple of games. Granted, his early career was amazing. The guy must have, but I don't think he's there anymore. I think he's kind of faded out. I think that's another reason why Jordan Howard showed up slimmer.
I think Victor Cruz is going to play more of that. Just like a role playing. He's going to be another role player, I think, in that offense. I mean, because you still got guys like, you know, Kevin White, you know, again, health issues, but if he's healthy and you got Cameron Meredith over there, and I think those are going to be the key players on that offense anyway. The key to the receivers.
You got Mumphrey. Oh, no, Mumphrey is on the Texans. I think he was on the – I feel like Mumphrey was on a – I don't know, who am I thinking of? Another player. I think he was on that team last year. He's on Texans.
Marcus.
Anyway, I digress. But yes, that they do not have the sexiest players.
They do have Marcus Sweeney, I think. Yeah, there you go. A little some sexiness.
Oh man. Thanks for that, Jules. Thank you. I needed that one. All right. Adam Gase is telling reporters Ryan Tannehill has no restrictions. Incredible turnaround. This is good news, especially since they want him to throw 55 touchdowns and 12 of them to Julius Thomas, right? So this is amazing news.
I just Dolphins. I'll believe it when I see it. They always seem like they're on that cusp of being a good team. And they have, like, all these really good pieces that kind of seem like they're going to get put together, and then they just don't. Like,
yeah. It's noise for me. It's noise for me as well. I'm not a huge – I did like Ryan Tannehill, but with this injury, and even though he's got this turnaround, the guy's just never put it together. I mean –
that's bull crap.
In a two quarterback league, sure, you can use them.
They do this every year. They've done this for like the past 2 or 3 years now.
And they've been hyping all offseason, right? I feel like all offseason we've been hearing nothing but reports from the Dolphins saying, oh, this guy is going to be the greatest, and that guy is going to be best. And...
like, who's? You and I are pretty close to Miami. We know what the Miami fans feel.
Yeah.
They don't even like Tannehill, right?
No. No, they do not like him. I think his jersey's on sale for like $5 right now at like the local Target. I got one for my nephew. I think his birthday was I got them both colors. Just I was like, hey man, here, both colors. Yeah, it was like it was really cheap. So oh man, so that's definitely some noise. I'd say
it goes back to that thing, you know, where you go. It's not like the coach is going to go, yep, we look dreadful. Like, we are
right, exactly, 100%. What I thought was interesting, Jerick McKinnon opened Vikings OTAs handling most of the first team reps. I thought that was a little bit interesting. Also, he came in bigger and faster. So what are we thinking about Jerick McKinnon? I mean, it was supposed to be his backfield when AP was there. Are we is he the forgotten guy, or are we just not thinking about, you know, I mean, they got Murray, they got Cook. I mean, he might be that guy that you could just wait on and grab, and if he performs well, you're a winner.
I referenced last year, you know, I mean, he had every opportunity from, what, the third snap of the first game when AP went out, and, I mean, he just doesn't ever do anything, in my opinion. I actually have higher expectations for Dalvin Cook this year.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, I have very high of expectations. A player that should have been drafted by the Jets, but they went and got another second defensive player. That's another topic for another day. But, I like Dalvin Cook. I think he will definitely take the lead job over McKinnon. I don't know. For just something about McKinnon, he, like you said, he just never I don't know. He just never exceeds our expectations, I feel.
Yeah, he underperforms. I mean, he had, if you're looking at averages, I don't really like to buy into averages, but he only did 3.4 last year.
Well, we don't have to go into stats, but it's just what has he done with the ball? You know?
Yeah, you look. I mean, just the eye test. It looks like he can do it sometimes, and then
it does.
It just, I don't know if it's a confidence issue or what. But yeah, he's got Cook back there and Murray that's probably going to take over the backfield. But I do like that, you know, if you do grab him, you're grabbing in the last round, or you're spending $0 on him, you know. So he's not a bad flyer, I guess. But again, it's May. May is the time to say great things about your players, you know, before you start telling them this guy sucks and he's cut off the team. So,
back. Yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of guys that look good, what do you got? Some? You got something for?
No, I was just going to say, and then you have Latavius too. That doesn't help his chances, but.
Yeah. Yeah. Latavius should be Latavius' job. Yeah. He should start, you know, but Dalvin Cook is there. He's probably going to eventually take over. You're probably going to see Latavius start. Cook, you know, inch his way in there to take his job. But I got a little bit more news. I think this is news. And not noise. Brandon Oliver is back from his Achilles. And we all know that Kenneth Farrell is not the guy as I hoped he would be. Last year, I hyped him up sometimes because it's just I like, you know, throwing out obscure names. You know,
you like Julian to be the first one to say it.
Yeah, Julian made fun of me.
Who likes to be the first one to say it? Like, I don't think anyone's talked about Kenneth Farrell.
Hey, if you had Kenneth Farrell last year in 1 week, he did you awesome. Like, that guy did amazing for a week.
Yeah, for a week. Yeah, a week. But I think Brandon Oliver, you look at Brandon Oliver, he's obviously, when he was healthy, he was great. I mean, he's definitely Gordon's handcuff, no?
Yeah, and then go back to Danny Woodhead and how involved he was in that offense. You know, and that's going to be his new role. I actually really like him this year, too. And I hate saying that because I'm a Broncos fan.
Woodhead or Oliver?
Oliver.
Oh, yeah,
I'm saying he's taking that role, you know. Right. He's going to be in the Danny Woodhead role since he's in Baltimore now.
Exactly.
He
could be a really sneaky guy for you. I feel like we're talking about a lot of sleepers at this point. We might as well throw one more in, even though there's a report saying Spencer Ware is expected as a starter. I've been hyping up Big Reem Hunt, and I think that guy's going to be, I still say he's going to be RB1, regardless of this news. What do you guys feel about this news? News or noise?
Spencer Ware being number one?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's his backfield to lose, I think.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, 100%.
Yeah, I agree. Ware is very capable and dominant pretty much in the backfield. I think it's definitely his to lose. He's a rookie. So if anything, they ease him in, you know, as the season goes on, and we'll just see how it goes from there.
Yeah, I feel like he's going to take over sooner than later.
By what game?
I'm going to go ahead and say they're going to mix him in early, you know, really early. And then as he takes off in the first game, by the second game, you're going to start to see 50-50, 60-40. And after 60-40, I think he's just going to be gone.
Very
you're
going
early. To see where possibly vulturing touchdowns. But, I mean, he's a big guy. You know, Hunt is a big guy. He can do it all. He's steady. You know, I think he's really going undervalued. I'm grabbing him in every mock I can. Usually like around 10 or now 9. So I guess that's not undervalued too much. I kind of hope he doesn't creep up higher than that. So maybe I should stop talking about Kareem Hunt. So I think this is definitely noise for me. I mean, everyone expected Spencer Ware to be the starter. You know, news would have been, no, Hunt is the starter, you know. But again, his job to lose, as we're all agreeing, it's his job to lose.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, I think the news would be exactly that. Like if you said, Hunt's going to really cut into the workload or something to that effect. Andy Reid doesn't run rookies very often, though.
No, that's what they say. You know, he doesn't usually like to too much. But, I mean, he did use Ware. You know, I mean, Ware he eventually worked in. Ware, I mean, albeit, second year. But I think he looked better his second year than the opposite year. He had a better yards per carry, had more touchdowns. You know, he had more receptions, obviously, you know, being a feature back last year. But yeah, he just took a nosedive, you know, from where you expected him to be. And if you grabbed Charles and then you grabbed Ware, it just wasn't it wasn't what you wanted. And I think that, you know, if you're grabbing Ware, luckily you can grab Ware in the fourth round now versus Charles in the second round. And you grab Hunt in the ninth or tenth round versus I don't even know where it was being drafted. So,
right.
Oh, so it's value. So I like that. That's good value. We're gonna move on though. This was some news last week, but I guess we could talk about it. The Pittsburgh Post suggests that Steelers would employ four wide receiver sets. And I was just telling Julian, I was like, is that news? I thought that's what they were doing last year. You know, they tried it a lot, at least. They had Eli Rogers. They tried to work in Wheaton. They had Antonio Brown, obviously.
Well, they were even running Le'Veon Bell out there a lot,
right.
Like on the slot.
Right, and then they even did two tight end sets. So they're working on a lot of different things. I do like Juju Smith if they're going to use this for a wide receiver set. So I do like that. You definitely got to like if Martavis Bryant can stay clean. He's another guy that, you know, I'm a little nervous about drafting him just based off of his Josh Gordon-esque, you know, like, I don't know. I'd feel a lot happier drafting Juju Smith last round or something like that. He's actually in my top 60, which isn't saying much because he's at the bottom end of the 60. But hey, he's got high potential if any of those guys get injured. So this is what noise, guys.
Yeah, it is because I just don't really see a variance from it from last year. Like,
yeah.
It's the same thing. Maybe they're going to run it more.
We'll run this play 10 times more.
Right. I mean, after a while, we can figure it out, too, I would think. But I don't know. I guess the other bit of news that came out might be some noise. We could talk about it just because I know Chris would appreciate me talking about Amir Abdullah and Zach Zinner. My love and affinity for Zach Zinner. he believes that since Asiata has got signed, Zinner is not a thing anymore. Not that he was really a thing. I just like to play with my, you know, Zach Zinner. It's easy. I like to play with that guy. I think he's a fun guy to, like Chris Thompson, to just talk about and as a sleeper. And if he does something, hey, I told you so, Chris. But, yeah, I think Abdullah, yeah, they're going to give him the feature role. Why wouldn't they try to give him the feature role? I still believe Theo Riddick is still going to be the guy doing the same thing, catching passes. And then you got Zach Zinner and Asiata that's probably going to be vulturing. So I see Amir Abdullah possibly getting yardage, and then the other guys are getting the rest. Is this a guy you guys even want to own? Is this news or noise, guys?
I like Amir Abdullah. Like, I think he's going to be... I think he's had bad luck with injuries. I don't know that he's quite injury prone yet, although
you're waiting for the second time
most of his career. I think, I don't know. That's a tough backfield to navigate. It's almost getting as bad as New England in Detroit. I mean, you've got all those players, and I think you're actually spot on with that call. I think you're going to see the vultures. I think it's going to be a big vulture touchdown area. Zach Zinner and stupid Asiata. God, I hate that guy.
Who would you rather have if you had to own the entire backfield of the Lions or the entire backfield of the Ravens? Who do you want? What about you, Jules?
Yeah, I think Ravens as well.
Ravens, yeah, I got to go with Ravens. I mean, they're probably going to be getting maybe not as much passes, but I do like Terrence West. I believe in Terrence West more than Abdullah at this point. And he's a guy you could also take a little later. Dixon, another guy you could take later. So, yeah, I like those guys' value, especially over the Lions guys.
And the most important that you're forgetting, Danny Woodhead.
Oh, yes. How could I forget? He's going to be stellar those first 4 weeks. Him and Terrence West, I think they'll both – I think a lot of people are going to be just forgetting about Terrence West. I still think Terrence West is going to start. And if I'm not mistaken, I think I've read that like early in the beginning of the offseason. Really early. News?
Noise?
Noise. Oh man, and I'll end it with sad news of Steelers announcing
why
Ladarius Green. They had to release him because they paid him all that money, but he just wasn't.
They got the violin.
Yeah, the smallest violin. Yeah, he wasn't able to do anything. This news or noise for I guess the six shooter gunslinger Jesse James.
I think it's news for him for sure. Like I think he's going to be the guy. I don't think they picked anybody else up to replace Ladarius Green at this point anyways. And I liked how involved Jesse James was last year. I think he was pretty spectacular when he was in the game. He actually, I think I picked him up, I want to say like week 13, and he did pretty good for me for a few weeks there, and then he kind of sloughed off to nothing. But then so did the Steelers.
Right. Well, they were also trying to factor in. Remember, they had Ladarius Green back, and there was a lot of hype about, oh, pick him up. He's going to be great. And he wasn't. No, don't pick that guy up. Leave him where he is. They already are established with their guys. They tried to use him in a two tight end set. It didn't work. I think this is, I don't know, Jesse James might be a nice, he might be a nice, sexy tight end to grab. I mean, I think. Not too many numbers, but I think he had 39 receptions last year. I think he could easily get 60. You tack on, another 150 yards, maybe. That might be a stretch.
He's a great pass catcher. I think they'll utilize him pretty well. I mean, I've seen some games at Penn State when he was there, and he caught almost every ball I've seen thrown to him. So they would definitely utilize him.
Yeah, so
I don't know about top five.
No. I wouldn't put him in the top five. I'd say he's right out, even outside the 12. I'd put him right about 15, 16 to be nice. Yeah. I think he finished like around 20 last year or something, like 20 something, like 28th maybe or something like that.
Oh yeah, that's with limited.
Right, exactly. So you look at him. I think he can be what's the Texans guy? Fancy Hat Man. What's his name?
Fedorowicz.
His actual name? Fedorowicz. There we go. I think he can be Fedorowicz next year. And if he can be Fedorowicz next year, you're going to be using Jesse James a lot more often. And maybe even get some nice trade value. Pair him up with like a running back you're not using or a wide receiver and get like an elite one. Then you go ahead and get your Jordan Reed, because maybe he's out 1 week. He's going to come back in 2 weeks or something like that. You want to take a gamble, guy's hurting at tight end, so.
Thank you for saying Fedora or Fancy Hat Man. That took me back.
Oh yeah, Fancy Hat Man. I didn't know what else to call him. I was just like, remember for so long. If fans, if you guys remember, we dubbed him Fancy Hat Man.
In our mail sack.
Yeah, in our mail sack, and we would not answer anyone's questions unless you named him regarding him. Unless you called him Fancy Hat Man. So if you said Fedorowicz, we're like, no, sorry, we're skipping over you. His name is Fancy Hat Man, or Fancy for short. All right, man, I think that's about all the time we got, unfortunately. But I want to thank the fantasy darling Mike for joining us. Thank you, Mike.
Heck yeah, always a pleasure.
And I got to thank the Playboy, my boy, Julian. Thanks for joining us again. Yeah, go off and drinks after Ramadan is over or something like that.
Yeah, definitely. You gotta let me know what it is. I forget when that ends, but you let me know.
I'm drinking Old Duels these days because I don't always drink unalcoholic beverages during Ramadan. But when I do, I drink Old Duels, non-alcoholic beverage. Stay thirsty, friends. All right, guys. Jules, you want to tell us where they can find us, where they can love us?
You can go on our website at sleeperwire.com. You can follow us on Twitter at Sleeperwire Show. And you can always find us in Sleeperbot.
We've been on YouTube. We got some cool videos. We got some exciting stuff that I wish I could tell you guys about right now. But I can't, because you guys will just steal my idea and you'll come out with it, you know, and then it wouldn't be fun.
Well, in the meantime, they can go on the professor's IG. Apparently he has some nice videos to look at.
Yes. And he's answering all you guys' questions. So flood him. Go to Professor Chris SW, I believe, because there was already a Professor Chris, actually. So go to Professor Chris SW, spam that guy on Instagram and just ask him his millions of questions and he'll answer. You know, and you get to see his sexy face.
Tell him Julian sent you.
That's right. And Mike, where can they find you? Where's your handles?
Find me at Twitter and on Sleeperbot, on Fantasy Life, everywhere. Dr. King 21.
All right, awesome. I'm gonna just wrap up the show with the winner of our great master debates from last week with 25%. So sad. Who's the prophet? Who's the prophet lost? I'm talking to myself in third person like I'm Donald Trump. Kafifi. I had the Kafifi today, so, you know. Then Professor Chris came in 33%. He had Corey Davis. I had Joe Mixon. And then the fans seemed to love our host, Nick Summerall. They seemed to love his pick, McCaffrey. It felt like he, I guess, argued the best, or either they just liked McCaffrey. But he is our champion of the great master debates, our first one. He is the champ. Hats off to that man. We'll probably have him on next week, and he could get, you know, brag some more. You know, I could smash it in my face how bad I lost.
You know he's going to.
Yeah, it's okay. Alright guys, well for the Playboy, the darling, Steve back there pushing the buttons. See you guys next time.
Later.